Praise the Lord. All right, as quick as you can, please, if y'all are here and y'all are, or y'all that are watching at home or driving down the road or however you're watching us, I want you, go ahead and turn to Psalms 91. I want to show y'all a few things real fast. And let me set this message up. And I don't know if I can get through all of them, but I'll be back next week. So we'll, can y'all believe that? That's going to be 6 Sundays in a row that I'm here. Thank you, Lord. I give God the praise. There's a lot of trouble going on. Would y'all agree in the world? I mean, and every now and then we kind of get in the middle of it. Matter of fact, I don't have to go across this crowd and testify, but and I think God sticks these messages on me for a reason. I trust Him. My job is to shepherd this church, and the people feel called here. And a lot of times He'll get in an area, and we'll just stay in it for a while, and we might jump off in some different ways, but it always comes back to the same way. And this is it. I believe right now, until God tells me not to, and you'll see the other ministers when I'm gone, they'll minister really in the same areas as I do. And one of the areas right now, I believe, is equipping us so that we know what to do when trouble comes in our lives. Nowhere in the Word of God does it say that trials and tribulations won't come in our lives, because we live in a fallen world, but as a Christian, we just don't have to live of it, okay? And we're either going to see the trouble or we're going to have to go through a little trial and tribulation. And however you get through it is key. Well, really, the key is getting through it, right? A lot of times, I mean, I was on the phone a lot this week, and every time I would talk to these people, wherever in I think the ones I talked to were all in the state of Texas, I always went back to joy, because if you lose your joy, you lose strength, right? And really, when you're going through a trial and tribulation, or there's some type of trouble you're having to deal with, the devil does not want you to remain in joy, because if you remain in joy, that's how you get through it. No, the devil wants you to get all upset, and he wants you to meditate on all the bad things that are happening. And if you meditate on all the bad things that are happening, then, as we've always said, you'll build a tent, and you'll stay in the tent in the middle of the trial and tribulation. You're liable to stay in it for a long period of time. But God wants you to get through it, right? So He wants us to get more knowledge of who we are in Christ Jesus, not outside Him, because all things are possible to him that believes in Christ Jesus. We are nothing without Him. I think that's where a lot of the religious people get, that we're not worthy, and that's all I heard growing up. We're not worthy. We're just little old worms. Not worthy. We're not worthy. And I never understood that, even as a little Baptist boy. Why aren't we worthy? And then I started seeing in the Word of God where it started talking about that we're an heir of God. And I'm pretty sure God's worthy. And we're a joint heir with Jesus. All through the Word of God says that we can do all things through Christ. Don't leave Him out. We can do it. We're more than conquerors through God. Why? Because He loves us, you know. So I never understood why are they always confessing that we're not worthy. We're not worthy. We're not worthy. And I mean, it went on and on. And really what it's designed to do, and we don't do it on purpose, I'm sure of that. But when you gain more knowledge of the Word of God, you'll find out that you are worthy after you've given your life to Jesus. He made you worthy. He calls you a son of God. He calls you a daughter a daughter of the Most High God. And when you're a son and you're a daughter and you got a good father, ooh, they bless you. I never understood. What was it, Mrs. Osmond? You know, the Osmond family, this musical family. What's her first name? Marie Osmond. Bless her heart, Marie. Are you watching? She said, and I understood the heart of it, but there's got to be greater teaching. She put it all through the news that she wasn't going to give an inheritance to her children because she was going to make them learn how to work for it, which is good. I understand that, but no. The reason that I'm doing what I do by owning an insurance company, and I don't sell insurance, trust me. I'm just a money guy. And selling water with this church and owning property or doing whatever we do, you know what it's designed to do? It's to leave an inheritance for my children. And I mean, that's I want them, but I don't want them to not work. No. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And so, no. I want us to get the inheritance. Why? Well, because God's the one that gave it. I mean, we're an heir of God. All of this, we should be living by the Word of God, because all the promises are supposed to be for us as believers in Him. Say amen to this. Okay. So what we're trying to do is get people to understand, when you give your life to Jesus, you got authority. I'm not talking holier than thou. I'm not talking being a goody two-shoe. I'm talking about you and me knowing that we have the authority over the devil and over any trouble that we might go through. That God didn't design us to stay in the midst of a trouble. He didn't design us to go so low that the only way we can look is up. No, He gave us the Word of God that I don't have to go through the fire like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because I want to keep the Spirit of God on me. I don't want to go through the fire. I've got the Word of God to learn how to stay away from the fire, right? But sadly, we do go through some stuff and we get taught the hard way a lot of times. But listen to me, you don't have to struggle so that you'll get closer to the Lord. No. Just read the Bible and be who God's called you to be. And that's what you're learning here, hopefully. Okay? So, when you go through trouble, get through it. I want to give you 5 scriptures to stand on against trouble. 5 scriptures. And I want you to write them down. And again, I don't think I'm going to get through them all. There are people that want to join our church today. And if that's you, we did it a couple of weeks ago and had a whole bunch of people, but there was some people not here. And so I said, I'll do it again at the end of the service if you want to join here. And then I want you to. A lot of times people come for the very first time and they know that this is where God's planting them. And if that's you, praise God. I want you to be at a Bible-believing church where you're planted. Because where you're planted, you'll grow. Amen. But here's 5 scriptures that the Lord gave me that will help us stand against trouble. Listen to me. I say it again. Everybody look at me real fast. You don't want to be a person that submits to the enemy called trouble. Don't be the type that, you know, it's just part of life that we live in a fallen world, that we just have to go through lots of things, and most of them hopefully will teach us a lesson. All those things are good, but you don't have to go and stay in trouble constantly in your life. And I'm not talking you're causing the trouble, but when the enemy tries to bring trouble to you, a marriage. Oh man, the devil's attacking marriages because of that agreement that a marriage has. And the devil doesn't like agreement, you see. He's attacking finances. He's attacking health. I mean, we're going through a whole lot of things. We need to stand on the Scripture, the Word of God. It's truth, right? That will keep us and cause us to stand against trouble. And the first one is she prayed a lot of it, and we're just going to read the first three. Psalms chapter 91. This is the very first scripture. Now, as you turn there, I want to show you something in Ephesians, just real fast, that is the reason that we're doing it. And it's in 6, and it talks about verse 13, when God's trying to teach us to put on the whole armor of God, right? I mean, we don't want just the helmet of salvation on. Thank God for that, because, I mean, we need to be saved. But you got to get the rest of your body clothed. You got to get protection. Thank God people, you know, when they go to a service at the National Finals Rodeo that we do, or when Jamie and I go to the College National Finals in Casper, Wyoming, and lots of people get saved. They raise that hand like we do here. If you pray this prayer, if you just gave your life to Jesus and you meant that prayer, when I count to three, get that hand up and put it right back down, you know. And it's just a way to get them brave enough to, yes, I just gave my life to Jesus. But what do we do before? We have them confess the prayer, right? No matter where we go, we need the helmet of salvation on. But then when you get born again, going to heaven when you leave this earth, you're still living here. And you've got to know that the enemy wants to throw or shoot fiery darts against you all over the body. So the word here in Ephesians 6 teaches us, no, put on the whole armor of God. But why? Verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. Underline that if you have a Bible. To withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, it says it again, stand, verse 14, stand. Let me read it again. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Don't you give up, in other words. Amen. So here's a scripture that, again, will help us when trouble comes, to get through that trial or tribulation fast. I'll say it again, because if you've been to this church very many times, you've probably heard me say this hundreds of times. Me and my wife and family do not go through trials and tribulations like most people, because I have learned to get through them. They come, trust me. Just be a pastor. They come. I mean, they're... matter of fact, this morning I heard that a rumor started spreading around that we can't come. The only people that come to Cowboy Church are rich. That's praise God for that. I mean, that you need to say that's me, no matter how much money you have. Anyway, so what is the enemy trying to do? Well, he's trying to stop a move of God, and we're just not going to let him. So the very first scripture to stand on, to stand, when you've done all you can do to stand, no, stand. Stand is Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place, verse 1, of the Most High. Right, Janet? He that dwells. Say dwell. He, say it again, dwell. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall then abide. Say abide. You've got to learn to abide under the shadow, God's protection, of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my what? Refuge. Say it louder. Refuge, y'all. And my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Verse 3. Surely He shall deliver thee, that's talking about us, y'all, from the snare of the fowler. I'm a ranching cowboy. I don't think that I didn't put up snares trying to catch a bobcat or a fox or a you know, whatever it is, a ringtail. They made money. I would catch them in a snare, and I'd put it in the right on a fence line. I'd put that snare, boy, and I, when they would go be going through that area right there, I would catch them. Well, that's what the enemy's trying to do to us, right? Surely He'll deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. What God's trying to say here is those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest. He will reserve, he'll recue, I'll say it this way. I think he'll rescue us from every trap, that's what a snare is, and protect us from anything deadly. That's a scripture to stand on, y'all. The next time you go through some trouble, go to that scripture immediately and remind God. Listen, when you talk to the Lord, talk how you normally talk. Just leave out the cuss words. I mean, don't try to talk King James. My aunt's husband, Uncle Bob, that's what he would do, Howdy. All right, let's pray. He was a deacon. Let's pray. Grab hands. I'll lead you in the prayer. And then all of a sudden, regardless if he had a tenor voice, it would go to a very low bass voice. Grab hands. Bow your head, boy. Most holy God. God up in heaven. And he would change his voice. Thou mayest be down heareth, this earth-eth, come closer to-eth, thou holy God-eth. And all those kids are like, Mama, what's he saying? He's speaking in tongues? No. Just talk to the Lord, just how you normally talk. Father, let me remind you of your word, sir. Your word says that if I'll dwell in the secret place and abide under your protection, that all I have to do is I'll just say of the Lord, you're my refuge and fortress, and my God, in him will I trust. So I trust you, sir. And you said in the word of God, sir, that you shall deliver, surely, it says, deliver thee, me, from a snare. You said it. You said you would deliver me from the noisome pestilence. You said, sir, that I'm the head, not the tail. You said it. See, that's how I pray. Sir, the word of God says that I am above and not underneath. If you're going through trouble, you get to this scripture immediately. Amen? And you'll get through it fast. Now, here's the second thing, and then I'll do the next three next week. The second scripture, and listen to me, y'all got to start writing this stuff down. Because you're going to have to remember only two scriptures today. So I'm going to give you some leeway. Psalms 91. Here's the second scripture to stand on against trouble. You ready? Philippians 4 and 6. Let's turn over there just real fast, all the way at the back of your Bible. It's a great epistle, Philippians, right after Ephesians. And go to verse 4. Again, what are we learning, y'all? We're learning how to stand against the enemy that's trying to bring trouble to us. I mean, we can stand where we don't have to go through trouble after trouble. How about an addiction? Ooh, Jesus. I mean, and addictions in the Western world primarily are, and I'm not talking about rodeo cowboys trying to stay awake. Yeah, they get pretty bad off sometimes. But I mean, tobacco. I mean, that's how we were raised. I don't know. I was the only one in my family. I think it was when I was 8 or 9, Dad gave me a dip of Copenhagen, and I was sick for 3 days. I never dipped, but my two brothers and my dad did. I mean, that's just they just dipped. We just thought that's what you're supposed to do as a cowboy, you know. Well, it becomes a major addiction to a lot of people, and they can't give it up. Well, this is why it's so important that we begin to speak to the mountain And when you're addicted in some area, whatever it might be, you've got to stand on these scriptures to get delivered. And here's another one of them when you're going through trouble, Philippians 4 and 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with, there's that word thanksgiving again, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. There's something about that, y'all, when you just say, sir, I admit it. I am fallen in this area, and I just need some help. Because listen, you can't have a secret sin. There, God knows it all. He knows the number of hairs on your head, if you got hair. He knows every sparrow that flies, right? He knows your every thought. So just be honest with him and say, sir, I'm going through this issue, and I just need some help. I liked it watching Fort Worth Rodeo last night in the barrel racing. I liked the winner, and we know the girl a little bit. But I liked what she said during the interview. And she won, I think it paid, $20,000 to win the final round. They did brackets, and you had to qualify to get to this final round last night in Fort Worth Rodeo. But when she won it, I mean, she beat Haley Kinzel. She beat a lot of amazing horses. And she was so excited, and she said, what's going through your mind right now, winning one of the biggest rodeos of the year in the winter, $20,000 or whatever? And she said, you know what it was? She said, I prayed to God that he would give me confidence. You see, there's something about saying, sir, I just don't have confidence right now. And most of y'all know my testimony a few weeks ago. I've been battling the same thing, roping. I mean, I've roped all my life, but I've team roped. And there's a different position because the steer's a little further to the right, and I can open up that swing, and I mean, I got them. But then when you steer rope and it's just you, you get more behind the steer. And it's a total different loop. You have to rope the right horn before the left horn so that your slack comes on the right side of the animal. That's what steer roping is it trips them, it turns them around, and puts them on their side, and then you got to get off and go tie three legs, and it's a bigger steer, right? It's not a little calf. And I was struggling. Matter of fact, I went to Uvalde the other day, most of y'all know, and I mean, I missed the first two steers, the best ones in the pen. And I, you know what I did? I could have got mad. I could have, said things that a pastor shouldn't say. I could have just stayed mad, upset. But what I did is I went to my truck. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was disgusted. Here I'm a professional roper, and I've had a rope in my hand since I was a little kid. I've won major rodeos and have had great success at roping. But here in this one event, it is so humbling. And I said, God, I don't need to be humbled by this event. I just said it how it was, right? Make your request known. I wasn't hiding. I said, no. Now, don't get me wrong. God's not going to humble you. There's nowhere in the Word of God. People say it all the time. You better watch out, brother. God will humble you. No. You never find where God humbles you. You know what he says? He says, humble yourself. I was struggling. So I went to the truck, and I had a Charles. We sell them right here. And we have a Charles Capps book called Confessions. Charles Capps is a mighty man of God. He's in heaven now. He's got this little book, and it's just confessing the Word. Because, see, this is what God's trying to get us to do. Scriptures that will help us stand against trouble. And I just got that little pamphlet, and I just begin to And it was all the Word of God like we're doing today. I just begin to say, Father, I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I can, and I, matter of fact, he puts it, I will. I will do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm the head. That's why you hear me say it all the time, because I can memorize this book. Because I want to continue to preach and confess the Word only. Because listen, that's the only thing that's going to get us through a trial and tribulation. And these are scriptures that will help us stay against trouble. Stand against it. So I declare in Jesus' name that if you're going through some trouble or know someone going through some trouble, I want you to confess to them that the only way out of that trouble, the only way to stand against it, is the Word of God. Come on, y'all. Come on. It's the Word. I mean, all y'all people that's never said amen before, say it now. Amen, brother. Ho-ho. I mean, because it's the Word that will get you out of that mess. It won't be anything other than the true truth of the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to keep you out of trouble. Oh, don't think that the devil ain't going to come back. He's going to come back to try to get you. But you know what you're going to do? Speak the Word. You're going to say, uh-uh, devil, the Bible says you get under my feet. You rascally rabbit. I mean, whatever, however you talk, without cussing. Get thee behind me, Satan. And I mean it. Be like a girl talking. You know how y'all talk? What'd you say to me? Ask my mama. They wrote an article on me in a magazine, a roping magazine. And one of the questions was, what are you most afraid of? And I put my mama. And my brothers called when it came out and said, oh, mom's upset. I said, what for? Well, because you told the whole world that you're afraid of mom because she's mean and beat you. I said, I didn't say that. I just said I was more afraid of her. Because dad, when we were in trouble, he would get us in a room and he would start whipping the bed and he just told us to scream like we were getting beat. But mom would actually beat us. Anyway, this is how you stay out of trouble. Amen. Did y'all have a good time this morning? All right, so stay out of trouble by the Word of God. All right, it's 12 o'clock, real fast. I want you to bow your heads, and I want you all to confess this prayer. And the reason I'm going to have everybody confess it is if you're born again, we're going to pray the salvation prayer. If you're saved, you've got to learn this prayer. You need to know how to lead people to Jesus. The people that won't even come to a comfortable church like this one. But if you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, it's time you do it right now. It's time you give your heart to Him. There's no reason to live in this world without a Savior. Amen? And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray it right now. Heads bowed and eyes closed. You ready? And let's all pray this prayer, but especially anybody here that doesn't know what would happen to them if they died and left this earth. You need to know that the only way to heaven is receiving Jesus, and that's what we're going to pray right now. That's the only way. That's John chapter 14, y'all. Jesus said, I'm the way, truth, and life. No one comes unto the Father but through me, Jesus. You've got to have Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you've never made Him that, then pray it right now with all of us. Ready? Out of your mouth, say this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you've been raised from the dead. And today, I'm saved because Jesus is my Lord. I pray this prayer to you, the Father,